The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him." The Gospel of the Lord. Sometimes I like to decode the mysterious first readings that we hear. You know, these baffling Old Testament first readings that we hear, they're like gold mines. There's a treasure down there, but it's not sitting up on the surface. You got to dig for it. You got to work for it. So I'll tell you what I did. I did the digging for you today, and let me bring up for you what I found. You ready? In our first reading, the year 725 BC. The place is the kingdom of Judah, where a weak king named Ahaz has a real tough dilemma, a difficult decision to make. A couple of foreign nations right outside his borders have just made alliances with one another and against him, and he feels very unsafe. And so he turns to the kingdom of Assyria, which is the most powerful kingdom in the entire world, and he says to himself, "I'll just make an alliance with the kingdom of Assyria, and all will be well for me." That's when the prophet Isaiah speaks up. He says, "Don't make an alliance with Assyria. Trust in God. Reform your life. Reform your people. Keep the covenant, and God will provide everything that you need." So what does King Ahaz do? He makes an alliance with Assyria because he doesn't have any faith, and he only trusts in what he can see. And what happens as a consequence? Mighty Assyria rolls through the land, conquering kingdom after kingdom, and when they come to the kingdom of Judah, they break in and they kill King Ahaz. And that's where the first reading begins. Isaiah says, God used Assyria like an instrument to bring his people back to himself. He allowed weakness, he allowed fear and frustration to bring his people back to himself. And the lesson in that is that God still does that. Plenty of times God allows weakness and frustration and suffering because it's really, really good at bringing our hearts back to him. There may be a fault that you're struggling with and you pray about it. And in spite of all your prayers, it never gets any easier. You remember St. Paul once upon a time, he said, seven times I prayed to the Lord that I might be delivered from this fault. And God said to me, My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. It might be something very good, like you want to restore a friend or a loved one to health, and you pray, and you pray, and you pray, and nothing seems to happen. Now, don't misunderstand. It's not the whole of God's plan, but part of God's plan is that the experience of your weakness and need draws your heart back to the Lord. Not only in our own life, but even in history. Go through the Old Testament, you'll find this happening again and again. God uses the enemies of his people to purify his people, to draw their hearts back to him. Think of the Israelites under Pharaoh in Egypt, or think about what happened with the Babylonians and the Israelites. Or down through history, God frequently uses the enemies of the church as an instrument to purify the church. It's not easy. It's like getting scrubbed with steel wool. But boy, does it clean us. You can be certain that it's happening now. The enemies of the church, both outside the church and inside the church, among God's plans, are to draw our hearts back to Him. And it forces a really important question that we need to pray about on a daily basis. When you experience weakness and frustration, are you more like Ahaz, or are you more like Isaiah? Do you trust in the Lord? Or do you only trust in what you can see and understand? Jesus says, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You revealed these mysteries to the childlike." Now notice, He doesn't say childish. There's a difference between being childish and being childlike. What's the difference? Will, there's some behaviors that you see in a small child. You're supposed to outgrow them by the time you grow up. Such that if you're all grown up and you're still having temper tantrums when things don't go your way, don't be surprised when someone says to you, "Grow up, friend, stop being so childish." But then there's some behaviors you see in a small child, and they almost never survive to adulthood, and they're so precious if they do. Things like simplicity and innocence and trust. This is what we call being childlike. And Jesus says, unless you become like that child, you're not getting into the kingdom of heaven. So a question to ask about and to pray about is, where's your heart? Ahaz says, "I trust in power, I trust in money, I trust in connections, and that will bring me all good things." Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness over you, and all other things will be given you besides." Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Our saint for the day is Saint Bonaventure. He once said, if you learned everything except for Christ, you've learned nothing. But if you've learned nothing except for Christ, you have learned everything. We'll ask for his prayers to help us today. St. Bonaventure, pray for us.